Hello everyone, this is Tanya from 12 Element Yoga and Wellbeing. Thank you for stopping by and listening to our guest on Mind the Gap podcast. I am here to discuss real life issues that we all face or can relate to from our experiences of being blissful on the mat and the realities of the world off the yoga mat. As students, teachers, or professionals working in the health and wellness sector, we all have a unique journey and experience to share. From gym owners to face yoga experts, we discuss it all. Each episode will give you a guest with a unique story to inspire and uplift you on your journey into health and wellness. Be sure to connect with me at Mind the Gap on Instagram and check out my upcoming retreats and more at 12 Elements Yoga and Wellbeing. Thank you for listening. Whether you are out running, walking the dog with your feet up after a long day, or cooking a slap-up meal for your family, I appreciate you for listening to Mind the Gap podcast. Please like, share, and subscribe to be updated for new episodes bi-weekly. Marianne, welcome to Mind the Gap, and thank you so much that we finally made a time where we can connect today. I really want to go through everything that you've done, and I'm going to get straight into it with you, and we'll go through the introduction in a little bit. But where were you born and where did you grow up?
Okay, well, hello, firstly, and thank you for having me. And finally, we get to do it. So I'm really happy to be here just talking to you. So yeah, my name is Marianne O'Neill, and I'm born with the surname. As you can tell, O'Neill is an Irish surname. Yes. So I was born in Dublin in a place called Castleknock. That's like beside one of the biggest gated parks in Europe, the Phoenix Park, where actually the President of Ireland lives.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a huge, beautiful park with full of deer, and yeah, it's full of nature, so it's really nice. But yeah, born in Castleknock and in Dublin, and then yeah, spent up until I was 21 there. So like all okay. of my childhood and my teens in Castleknock in the same area.
Sounds amazing. And did you come from a religious or a spiritual background growing up?
Definitely more religious. So like Catholic, a Catholic background. So my parents definitely are into going to the church. We went to the church. Did you go to church?
But I was not Catholic. I was Seventh-day Adventist, which is very weird.
Okay. I've never said anything. Not much about that. We went to church like every Sunday, and did I even know what I was doing there? No, definitely not. You know, you just go. And you go with your parents, but we did it, and then we used to follow Lent, so you'd go like throughout Lent and you'd follow that whole
What is Lent? I don't know what Lent is. Is Lent
fasting? It's not fasting the whole time. You can basically give up some things, so you give up something, and it's basically just forming some sort of discipline. So you just kind of have to be give up something for an amount of time. To be honest, I don't know too much about it. I just followed along with it. And honestly, like that's what we do back then. I think everybody just went because their parents went, and you don't even know what you're doing there. And you don't even know what you're listening to also. I didn't even know what they were saying. And all I remember was a lot of sinning and confessions. We had to go to a confession.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I know about the Irish Catholic confession just from movies.
But it is like that. But like you have to make up something that you've done, because like how, like what really would you have done? But anyway, I'm not religious now though.
So your role today, you are founder of Fit Flow Yoga, you're a personal trainer, you're a life coach. So what was your career and life path before all of that?
Before all of that. So, well, I obviously went to school. I went to a secondary school, a private school, and then went to, I didn't really study at all. I was always talking and everything. So wasn't really very into the academics. I guess I think I have ADHD. So I wasn't able to focus or be still. So yeah. And every class, I just talk, and I'd always be kicked out of the class. anyway, I didn't do anything for the whole fit up until fifth year, so which is like 5 years, and then sixth year is the year where you actually do your exams and you qualify. So because I didn't do anything for the 5 years, then I moved to called the Institute of Education, where you actually properly study for a whole year, and it's right. It's not like I also didn't think I suited the school I went to. It was very it was Catholic school, and it was very all girls, long skirts down to the ankles, very strict. So I kind of felt that it didn't suit me. I would have been better in a mixed school where it's just a little bit more free. So anyway, I did go to that school in the end, in the sixth year. And in that whole year, I actually did it really well. So I did all of the work that I would have done in those whole six years in one. And then I got communications, and I wanted to do TV presenting. So so I studied communications and only did 2 years, and then I dropped out because I realized it wasn't about just doing TV presenting. It was about like back end, which is
all the back end. Not as glamorous as perhaps what you thought.
No, not at all. Like, it was literally all the editing and the opposite of what I would wanted. And then I was doing a lot of modeling at the time. I was in Miss Ireland, and when I was in the TV station one morning doing the catwalk, like walking for modeling the clothes, I'd asked them, the TV presenters, after, how did you become a TV presenter? And they said it wasn't through a degree of communications. So like they said, you just do it through your passion, or through, you fall into it through another way. And then I was thinking about this, and I was like, through my passion. And I was like, I love fitness. And then I decided to quit university and become a personal trainer. So I became a personal trainer when I was like 20. And then a massage therapist as well. I did that in 2 years before I moved to Australia.
Amazing. So,
yeah, that was that. Before I got into this world, I was in another kind of field.
And at what point did you become a yoga teacher in your journey, and where did you first do your training, and what was your experience when transitioning from student to teacher?
Well, I was a personal trainer then for years in Australia. So I lived in Australia for like 9 years, and New Zealand for one of those years. And I just set up all my mommy and baby boot camps and like loads of fitness and everything. So I had lots of background in teaching.
Can I ask you, what was the mommy and baby boot camp?
Boot camp. That was basically just in the area that I lived in New Zealand. I felt there was like a niche. There was lots of moms, young moms with babies. And I was like, this is definitely, I was only 24 at the time. And I was like, I was quite young. And I was like, I really want to set up a business more than, I was already doing personal training and boot camps. But then I was like, I'd love to do like mommy and baby boot camps. So then I was like, I just basically advertised it that moms could come with their babies, and we would do all squats with the baby, everything. And it just became more, less about the exercise, but more about them having a community of people that wanted to get back like into meeting people, having other like-minded people around them. And then also a lot of them, after they have a baby, they kind of struggled with their weight, or they felt that they lost their bodies. So even just coming back into that environment and feeling stronger and healthier again. So, and then I brought that to Australia, and that went really well in Australia then as well, in Byron Bay, where
you were in Byron Bay as well.
Yeah, I lived in Byron Bay whole time.
What year were you in Byron Bay?
Byron Bay, 2012, 13, 14, 15. And
after me.
When were you?
So I moved from Melbourne to Byron Bay, and because my mum lives in Byron Bay, she retired in Byron Bay. Okay. And I came back from my teacher training from Bikram, San Diego, and I was teaching at the Bikram Byron Bay Yoga Studio.
Oh, no way.
On Belonta Beach.
Oh, my God, I lived on Belonta Beach for some time.
Really? Yeah. Did you ever go to the Bikram Yoga Studio?
No, I didn't actually. I wasn't really into yoga back then. Like, when I lived in Australia, I really wasn't into yoga. I was all into fitness.
That's,
I did fitness competitions.
So ironic, because you were living in, like, Australia's most yoga community, like, in Australia. Well, that's not what it's predominantly known for, is for yoga, so...
True. Well, I definitely was very spiritual. Like, I loved all of, I did my meditations in, what was the name of that place? It was past Belonta Beach as you go straight up the road, and then you drive, like, turn left or right. I'm not sure, can't remember now.
And it has a big ute?
Yes. Yes.
Yes,
I used to do my sound bath meditations in there.
There's a guy, Paul, and all of those teachers. So when I first moved to Byron Bay, I was first teaching yoga. All of those spiritual teachers used to come and take my class.
Oh, no way. Wow.
And I would just like hack myself because I'm like, oh my God. I am not worthy.
Oh no. Oh, I don't believe in all that stuff, like gurus and everything. But yeah.
But no, it was so supportive and amazing. It was like, yeah, I was so blessed and so lucky that, yeah, they were there. But anyway, so coming back to your story. So when you were living in Byron Bay, you didn't do yoga, but where did you first practice yoga?
Well, in India. Well, no, actually, when I was living in Byron Bay towards the end, it was 2015, just before I left. And I was teaching in a gym all the time. So body pump and all of the fitness, very strong.
Oh, right. Okay.
Les Mills. So I was very into this and I was teaching a lot. And then when one of the teachers, he was amazing. His name is Alec and he's from UK actually. And he was just such a character. And he used to always like come in and be like heading down to the studio. He said, one day you should come. And I was like, oh, it's too easy for me. Yoga just would be too easy. I always had an idea that yoga was going to be too easy. And I was like, I don't want to waste time stretching. I'd prefer to be doing something very physical. And he said, no, just come, you'll be surprised. And I went down to the class and it was Ashtanga yoga that he was teaching. And
I
was and I was like, oh, I love this. Like I really got hooked when I did it because I was like, he was also very fun personality and I wasn't flexible at that time because I was so tight from all the fitness, my muscles were shortened, but he was just really nice and he was fun and I knew it was more physical, like a lot of serial mascaras and everything. So then after that I ended up leaving Byron Bay and going back to Ireland temporarily. I'd left a relationship, went back to Ireland and was trying to figure out what I wanted, and India was in my mind. So was it from yoga? I guess it was. There was something in there from yoga, from that class, but it was kind of slowly. I think I had books on India from Byron. And
I was just going to say, I'm sure that Byron Bay planted that seed unconsciously or consciously in your mind to go to India.
Definitely, 100%. And then I went to India. About 6 months later, I stayed in Ireland for 6 months. And in September of 2016, I went to India. And the minute I got to India, I was just like, oh, fell in love with it.
So you incredible. Went straight in to do an Ashtanga teacher training? You went to an ashram?
No, I went straight into Goa and I did a teacher training I think I went there first. And then I did teacher training in everything multi-style. So it was like aerial, hatha, vinyasa and Ashtanga.
That's a lot.
It was kind of like they did it. It was a playful kind of one where you could pick and choose. And then at the end of the course, you could choose whether you wanted to teach Ashtanga or teach whichever one as your exam. So I did. But actually, now that I think of it, I didn't do that first. I went to Mysore and I spent a month in Mysore. Because someone approached me, the owner of the school approached me online and said, because I used to make videos a lot, and he said, can you personal train me and you can get an exchange for free to just be and practice yoga? So I went to Mysore first, did Ashtanga for a month, and then got really into Ashtanga and loved it. And then I trained him, got this amazing experience. And then I went over, then from there, I was like, I need to do more, and went to go and got the teacher training certificate after. So I'd already kind of been like into Ashtanga for a month, like heavily in Mysore when I was there. And then when I went to Goa, yeah, you need that kind of, when you do the teacher training, you need to have some understanding of it before. Like you need to be in the practice. It makes it easier.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what was your experience like moving from student to teacher? Because you stayed in India for a fair amount of time.
For 5 years, yeah.
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 A long time in India.
Yeah, a long time. Moving from student to teacher. Well, I guess because of my personal training background and also teaching all the fitness classes, it was very easy. I'd already known.
It was an easy transition. Yeah.
Yeah. I think whenever you're a teacher of anything, if you're able to stand up in front of people, especially fitness, you know, like, and very easy just to transition. So as long as you know your yoga, yeah, so I guess that the confidence was there to teach, and I did it almost straight away after. I used to be on the beach in Goa, and I'd just be doing it myself, and people used to come over and be like, oh, are you a teacher? Do you want to teach us? And then I set up like teaching on the beach.
That's awesome. You were meant to be a yoga teacher. Everything just aligned for you. So what was your inspiration for Fit Flow Yoga, and what are your goals for the future?
Good question. Fit Flow Yoga. Well, basically, when I was doing Ashtanga for all those years in Mysore, the 5 years that I was there, I adore it. It's an amazing practice, very physical. kind of like fitness, but not. And the only thing I don't like about Ashtanga was that it's quite rigid. You know, you have to do the exact same sequence. Yeah. You kind of have to follow this very rigidly. And I felt that I love vinyasa, but I love Ashtanga. And then I love fitness. So then I just decided, I want to combine them. I want to make fitness and yoga combined, but like definitely with the breath. So it's mostly about the mind, move and meditate. That's where the kind of my username comes from on Instagram. The mind is like using the power of the mind and then using your movement through the power of the mind and then also the breath through meditation. So I kind of just wanted to combine them all. And that's where FitFlow came from. I just started teaching it one day and was like, oh, people are liking this. So, and they really do because it's quite unique. Like no one else teaches this kind of style that I've seen of. So
no, I haven't known anyone that actually teaches that kind of style. And I think it's very unique bringing the fitness into it because a lot of people don't really know how to combine the fitness to yoga if you're a yoga teacher, but because you have both yoga teacher for so long and fitness for so long, it's great that you can combine them. And I think it's very intelligent and healthy that you're using the breath as awareness to combine the both as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it is good.
No, the breath is so important. A lot of people miss that out when they teach yoga about the breathing, but everything is breath awareness, right?
Everything.
How do you maintain a balance between your daily routine, personal interests, and hobbies?
Balance. I guess I've noticed that living in London, I'm a little bit out of alignment. And that's why we're making the move to go back to the warmth, because I feel like I'm not fully in alignment because my values, you know, the highest priorities of mine are not being fulfilled. So with that, I mean, hobbies would even be going outside, walking in nature, in the sunshine. Just my routine will be very different from what I'm used to for like 15 or 16 years. So with that, I feel like there's been a lot of some areas of my life amazing, but there's a lot of dissatisfaction because I do life coaching. With that, I do some of these presentations which talk about our values. I guess here, what do I do? I make sure that I do lots of my own exercise, makes me feel good anyway. So when I'm teaching, that's like a joy. It's like it could be like a hobby, but I get paid for it. It kind of, as much as I don't feel totally satisfied with the lifestyle here, I do feel it all manages well. The only thing is with my fiance, his work schedule is so intense in London. So I guess with that, we're trying to navigate. I don't get my early morning practice first thing because I want to spend more time with him. So I guess, you just have to, but then I do it in the evening. So I kind of switch it around if I'm not teaching anything, or I do it as part of my class that I'm teaching. So things have changed, but I guess with what I learned in India, living in the ashrams and what you learn through any of these spiritual practices or holistic practices is that you have to accept all the changes.
Exactly. So you have to be flexible.
Flexible mind, flexible body. So try and like not be so, try and have everything so perfect all the time. So it's just the way.
So where are you teaching at the moment in London? Because you're teaching, is your FitFlow what you teach in our classes with other people? Like I'm not too sure how it works out. I know you're teaching at certain institutions, so
I'm teaching in the corporations. So like the corporations that are they're sitting at their desks all day. So I'm a freelancer, so there's someone that like organizes this and I go in under him, or else I've organized them through myself. So like but one of them, a lot of them that are through the corporations, they just said, go and teach yoga, like very general statement, like just yoga. So I'm like, this could be anything. So then I do teach FitFlow, and I've noticed that they love it so much. And like I said, it's kind of unique. So, and they're sitting all day, they want that movement. But all of those people that I've been teaching, they come consistently, like Tuesday and Friday, every single lunchtime, they don't miss it. And if they do, they'll message me and say they miss it, or, you know, that they are sorry they missed it. And it's just incredible. They've changed so much just from just that consistency.
And when you teach the FitFlow, do they have like a room dedicated that everyone can go in and put their yoga mat down?
It's already set up. So they already have, the corporations are pretty good here. I don't know if it's the same there where you are or in other places around the world, but here they're very good. They have all of the mats and the blocks and the belts and everything. And then
really good setup.
Yeah, and the staff, like, they put it out for us. So we just walk in and it's all set up.
Right. And then we just like teaching at a studio.
Yeah, exactly. It feels like that. It's warm. They've nice. It's very nice environment. So it doesn't feel like a gym, or it doesn't feel like stale. I did actually want to teach a lot outdoors when I moved to London initially, but the weather, you can't.
Yeah. This is so beautiful.
Yeah.
So what brings you joy as a teacher? Like, you're very bubbly. You have a lot of energy. And obviously, you know, I can tell that you love what you do. But every single day, what brings you joy? What inspires you to be, the, I guess, the ultimate teacher for yourself? And then that obviously flows off to the students as well.
I honestly think it's the people that come to my classes. Like, yeah, they inspire me, because when I see them change and when I see them being consistent and like dedicated to coming and just seeing how not only like do they give positive feedback about their flexibility, but how they've become more calm, or they've like taught their kids, or, you know, just the small little things, the feedback that you get, and even just seeing them. I guess they don't even have to say anything. It's when you see people coming back over and over again, and then I see the changes, then that really inspires me, because I'm like, well, if they're able to, like, anyone can do this. So that inspires me a lot. When people make change, when people are like, owe it to themselves, and they just do the work to make the change.
I feel exactly the same as you. So how did you combine your life coaching, or do you combine your life coaching and yoga together when you're teaching? Do you use some, I guess, I don't know, modalities or some structure sometimes when you're teaching yoga? Like, how does that kind of correlate together?
A little bit, like, through when it's teaching, like, I might say things like appreciate the breath, or like, this is the last breath, is imagine it's the last breath of life, like breathe it in and really be aware of it, and then breathe it out, and then know that it's not the last breath, but just never take it for granted. And then also, like, many times I'll say, don't take yourself so seriously, like, and we laugh a lot, so there's, it's very playful and fun. It's not taking yourself serious, it's never competition. And it's just about trying to progress individually, and just doing whatever, just having fun, basically. So that's kind of like, but life coaching itself is all about asking people questions and getting to the root of whatever's going on within them and trying to pull this out. So for me, life coaching, I don't really get to do it in the class because it's too many people, and it's also very sporadic. So it's more like motivational, the stuff that I do in the class, or insightful, whatever, any kind of like wisdom or anything, like those kind of things that people don't think about on a daily basis.
I imagine they're going to be extremely sad when you leave and move to Dubai.
No, I'm so sad to leave them, but I've done this many times. You know, every time I move, I'm like, bye. But I really need to get online. Like, I keep saying that I'm going to set up online and do videos online. But even this, I'm not used to. You're obviously doing podcasts, so you're very used to doing these videos, and like, you'd be really good at it. I honestly feel like that I'm not good with the technology.
So, I think it would be really good. I think your students would really appreciate it. And I think it's also an opportunity, I guess, I don't know, I'm just throwing it out there, that you could obviously add your life coaching. I always think of like, okay, so how can you, in today's world, like everything, there are so many modalities and people are taking so many different classes and people are so interested in different things besides just yoga. And even myself as a yoga teacher, you know, I've been doing so many different other modalities, whether it be breath work, essential oils, you know, so many different things. And when it comes to life coaching, which I'm just starting to get interested in myself, and yoga and wellness, like, to see where that moves in the future, it'd be interesting to see if someone actually does, like, and I guess it's kind of a little bit like, also, I have another podcast coming out where a lady is talking about somatic trauma and everything that gets held in the body and why and so forth. And it would be interesting to see people do like a yoga class and then offer them like life coaching after, just to see if there is a greater awareness of openness and to see how that transpires. Like, it's just I find the yoga world is moving at such a rapid pace. We're talking before, like, how many yoga people now becoming yoga teachers, and the industry is just kind of everywhere. And it can be good, but it can be a little bit chaotic as well.
True. I guess, same with you and me. We both have like an umbrella, and it all falls under that umbrella. So it's like everything is, it's all useful, and it's all going to lead to the same direction, which is trying to find more happiness and find a more connection within. Exactly. So it's just unwhopping. But I think people don't really know what life coaching really is, or they feel like, I've met many people that say, oh, that's not for me, I don't need it. And I'm like, every single person needs this. It's like, on a, maybe not on a daily basis, but you definitely need it, because everyone goes through things. We're all the same. Exactly. We're all human. So we all go through stuff, and we're all trying to figure out things as well, what our values are, what's most important, why we're having conflict. And this is what you get through life coaching. So I guess merging the two, I already do have life coaching clients. They're separate to yoga. They do actually do yoga, but they just, I just have them just through life coaching. I actually went to, when I was living in India, I kind of manifested this. I really felt like that I wanted to leave when it was rainy season. And I was like, I just would love to leave. And I was writing down my manifest. I'd love to go and coach someone, and like in a very you know, luxury area, and just be like living it up in the sunshine. And oh my God, just how things manifest. A girl, through a girl I knew that I bumped into in India, she was going back to the UK. Then she, anyway, when she got back to the UK, she just messaged me and was like, any chance you want to life coach a client in Monaco, she'll fly you out there. So wow. I went, I moved out and I lived there with her in this like palace for 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah, like it was unbelievable. And it was like, obviously, if you are looking for these kind of things, you also need to be brave enough to take the risk and to go and meet a stranger and go and live in this place. And you kind of have to be open to these experiences if you're asking for it. But I just,
I'm asking for it.
What?
I'm asking for it.
Yeah, give it to me.
Throw it out there on the podcast.
No, but I do. I'm a firm believer in manifestation. That's another side of life coaching.
Absolutely. Well. Yeah, me too. 100% on that. 100% on that. So where do you see, as you're moving to Dubai, where do you see yoga and wellness in the future for you then? Where do you see your path taking you?
Well, definitely continuing in yoga and life coaching, and even I write poems or like quite a lot as well. So like anything yeah, like I've only actually discovered this in London. They're quite, what I say, negative, but then they turn into positive. Again, it's a way to vent about my frustration in this weather. And for me, for other people, they go, weather, why are you so obsessed with the weather? But for me, it's like, it has such an impact on my life. And because I'm so used to it for so many years. So I've been writing poems. It just started coming out, like flowing out. And that's just another form of creativity. And it was more negative and switched in. The end of it is always positive. It's like always saying, well, you have a choice.
Absolutely.
You know, you can go wherever, you can change your environment. Basically, you're not a tree, you can move. So, but yeah, where do I see it? I think, yeah, I'll take it online, definitely. I definitely want to take it online for sure, because I do have met people all over the world, and then I'm always moving. So it's like just good to be online and have that open for everybody. And get back into my videos. I felt like, I love that you're doing all this podcast and everything. And I feel, I used to make loads of videos, and I just became so, again, uninspired.
Did you make fitness videos,
Maria? No, life coaching ones, actually. And I deleted them all.
Really?
Yeah, I deleted the majority of them. I used to sit in front of the camera. Yeah, I just felt like when I moved back, after everything happened in my life, when that relationship ended and everything, and I felt kind of, was it deflated or lost confidence, or felt, was I, why was I doing this or something? I don't know. I went through a stage of like, maybe I'm just going to just take it all down and just start afresh. And now I kind of would have, yeah, would I have liked to see them now? Probably, but I had so much confidence. I was able to just say whatever, never cared what anyone thought, like on Instagram. And then whatever happened, I guess, living back in this, maybe it was how I felt living here, or it has to come within. It's not, I'm not going to blame anybody else. It's nobody outside of myself, but it's how I felt here. Then I started to almost then think other people were judging me, and then just stopped making videos. And just, and it was all about like message of the day. So say sharing a positive message of the day or sharing some insight. And they did help people. People used to message me and say they really liked them, or it's helped them through a difficult time. And so it was good at that time, but I felt I can't share this if I'm not feeling this. I think that's where it came from. I stopped it because I was like, I'm not feeling it. How can I share, live your best life when I feel I don't, I'm not living it? Even though everything else is perfect, on paper, everything's perfect here. I have an amazing fiance and I have everything. But I guess how I feel in this environment is not right. So then I feel like
it wasn't inspiring you, I guess.
Yeah, and it's like, if you're not feeling something, then you're almost being like, I feel like I'm being a fraud. If I'm sharing, you know, I'll be happy, and, you know, and I'm genuinely not feeling that. Yeah. So I think,
well, I think you should do it.
Yay. Well, in, I feel like it's already coming back. In the last, since we decided to move to Dubai and we booked our tickets and everything, then now I feel like, okay, it's all coming back again.
Yeah.
So it's just a simple decision.
I would watch it. You have a lot of energy and charisma. I think I'm surprised that you took them down, because I'm sure they were amazing.
Well, no, I think now if I was doing them better, I think I learned that they were probably too on the spot as well. Maybe I could be a little bit more, I don't know, yeah, maybe just more planned or something. You learn from them as well. So like they were probably just
Absolutely.
On the spot. And, yeah, just, I don't know. But I do think everything is going online. I think that's where the future is, as well as in person, wherever you are. And retreats, you like the idea of retreats is amazing. Getting people together, everyone wants some time for themselves and just to go on holiday.
Yeah. What brings, I already know this, what brings you joy in your daily life? I know it's sunshine number one.
Well, my fiance, I feel bad for him. Him, of course, Casper and the sun. And my yoga practice.
And I wanted to ask you, and how do you share it with others in your class? Bring your sad lamp in.
Just shine the lamp, which is making me very hot right now. It's like literally in my face. What makes me happy on a daily basis? Meditation is key as well. Yeah. This is something if ever I'm feeling triggered or anything, which we all do, I definitely do. Then yeah, when I just breathe and meditate, then I just, yeah, I feel really good again. So this makes, and then also just music, movement, eating nice
creativity.
Food.
Yeah, I guess even writing poems is a great way, a self-expression is a beautiful way, open up your throat chakra and just get from your head onto paper is very therapeutic.
Exactly. What would you say for you? What do you think makes you feel really happy?
I'm with you. Obviously coming from Australia and living in Asia for 10 years, I'm exactly like you in wintertime. Like I miss the sunshine. I live in nature, so I'm very lucky. And when we go on holidays, we go a lot to Italy. We go hiking. So I'm a nature girl. Like I've been horse riding before I could even walk. So having horses, being in nature is my go-to, I think, just not only just for mental therapy, but also just spiritually as well. Like I always feel more connected to something greater than myself when I am actually in nature.
So nice. Why is that?
Everyone does.
It's true. I think it's because we're present, isn't it? It's when you're in nature, you're like almost in awe of it. It's like, wow. I love that about living in India and Australia. When you're by the beach, you're just like, wow, this is just so, and you're stopping to become present in that moment of something that you're, yeah. So I think, yeah, nature is amazing.
Can you explain to me, because we talked a little bit about life coaching, but what kind, there's many different kinds of life coaching. And most people, when they think of life coaching, may think of someone like really strong or dominant, like Tony Robbins, where it's just like, rah. And then, you know, you have all different types of life coaching for different areas and different modalities.
True.
What kind of life coaching did you do? And what is it that you do in your life coaching with your clients?
Mostly for me, I guess it's like I point out, I can pick up limiting beliefs. So this is like things that are in our way, statements or beliefs that we have about ourselves, about the world, about our lives, and that are getting in our way. And I think I'm so obsessed with this because I had so many that blocked me, like from when I early in my early 20s, that just always got in my way. Just anything, all those small little things that we say to ourselves without even being aware of it. I have so many examples, but this kind of thing. So I would always, when people are speaking, I can hear, like, say, for example, someone saying, oh, no, I wouldn't be able to move because I am too tied down here. I have da 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 da. That's already, I always question that. I say, list these things and tell me. So I go dive into it. Or like, I can never lose weight because I'm just big boned naturally. I'm saying, okay, is this really true? Where did you get this from? Like, where is this coming from? So this is the style that I do, is going into where something came from. But then I don't want to go too much into the past either. So, because I'm not like a psychologist or a psychotherapist. So I don't go deep into the past. It's more just, okay, this is coming from there. Does this make you feel good? And question it. And then see if you can turn the story, like change it. And to suit you. So basically it's just changing from the negative to the positive, and just
it's a little bit like cognitive therapy. So you're working basically on people's patterns and old habits. Yeah. And I guess they say as you get older, your bad habits and bad patterns are very a little bit harder to change. I don't want to say impossible, but obviously harder to change because we're creatures of habits.
True.
But it's great clarity in the way that you introduce it to for me, in my mind, it's and I guess in teaching yoga as well, that's why I see the similarity between life coaching and yoga, because it's always, you know, even when someone, you're teaching yoga to someone and they're like, oh, I can't do this because I'm too big boned, or I have too much weight, or, oh no, I can't go on a retreat because of like blah, 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 blah. So I feel like it's a little bit.
That's very true. I do. That's really, really true. Because you were asking earlier, how can you connect them? But they are. I always actually on a daily basis when I talk to people, they say, when I meet new clients, especially they or yogis, they always say, oh, I'm not flexible. And I always say, oh, I wasn't flexible either, but I changed my story. And I said, of course I can become, if she's flexible, I can become flexible. You know, you just have to change. You have to almost say, of course you can do anything you want. Anything is possible. And once they believe that, then if they even think that they could become possible, flexible, and that it is possible, then they're going to be more likely to keep coming back. And then they do become that because they already believe that it is possible. But if they say, if I said to them, which I've heard some people, they've told me some people have said to them, no, it's not possible. You'll never become flexible. Your hips are a certain shape that they're not going to, all this nonsense. And your back is like this, so you can't. The doctors like even tell them this kind of stuff. Don't do this and don't do that. Yeah. And I'm like, no, you can do that. And just try it and see how it feels for you. And once something switches in their mind, then they like go, they really get into it and they feel motivated and inspired. And then they prove themselves and everybody else wrong. And then they're like, wow, what else can I do? So I really do believe that we can do anything. So once your mind is in the, like believes it.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So I'm convinced that life coaching does work. And I was saying to you before, like there's so many different genres of life coaching. Did you specifically study a particular area in life coaching, or was it like a broad spectrum?
It was a broad spectrum course and diploma. And I went into it and in that course, the teacher, the lecturer, he spotted my limiting beliefs, and they were so every time, like, oh, this limiting belief pulled me back to Ireland every single time. I changed my whole life because of this belief system, and it, like, literally all my decisions were based around this belief that was false. It was completely fictionalized in my mind. It was like a fantasy that was never going to happen. And I just put every decision, because we make all of our decisions based on our belief systems. So it was like, if that's fine, if you have a good belief system that's going to like help you and enhance your life. But mine kept interfering and bring me back to somewhere that I was not meant to be. But I guess you could say I was always meant to do that so I could go into this course, so I could study this. You know, you can look at it two different ways. But I do believe that there's... Yeah, whenever I became passionate because it helped me. And I think when I look at anybody who's gone through stuff, it's mostly because it's changed their life so much, then they delve into that. So then because they understand it, when you understand something a lot, then you're like, okay, I understand this and now I can teach it. So, and I hear it all the time, like all day long, especially in more places that are like, we have to work hard. You can't take a break for work, you know, in these cities. It's very, 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 like, what is it? Controlling. And also just the way their mind is then now believes this, that they can only get a promotion if they don't take their lunch break and da, da, da. And I'm saying, is this true? Is this like, is this going to enhance your life?
Yeah.
So, but it does take a lot of weaving, you know, like it takes a lot of questions and then, but it does, it's always like a change in perspective. It's all, everyone gets a change in perspective every single time. They're like, wow, I've seen something in a different way.
I love it. I love it. Can you share some wise words or, I mean, you do poetry, so I'm expecting, no, I'm just kidding. ending on some words of advice. Let's go, because we're talking a little bit before about how so many people now are becoming yoga teachers and how we kind of have a saturation of yoga teachers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the quality of yoga teaching has changed since you and I started doing yoga teacher trainings.
Yeah.
What advice can you give to someone that really wants to do an authentic yoga teacher training? And maybe say they're in somewhere like a major city, like Brussels or in London or New York, and maybe they don't actually have access to get to India. Well, that could be a limiting belief, but we won't go down that line.
There's always a way.
But, you know, what advice would you give to them to do a teacher training?
Good question. Well, I'd always say go to the source. That would be always my first thing. That's what I did. I go to the source.
That's exactly what I say.
Yeah, you go to the root of it and go to the source. If you cannot go to India, and you then you find somebody, and there's plenty that I've known from India and Mysore, Ashtanga Yoga, and there's a lot of amazing teachers that come from this place. Like they're dedicated on a daily basis. So
dedicated.
Yeah. So if you cannot go to India to that source, go to those people who've gone there, like to the source, and go and learn from them. Because I guess if you want something enough and you want it to be the, I always believe if you are really passionate about something, make it the best, like become the best at it. So don't like on like half in, half out. So just if you, if they're really into wanting to do yoga and they're really wanting to learn, go to the source. So go to India if you can, or depending on the style as well, Ashtanga yoga is in Mysore. Goa would have lots of different styles, but again, they're getting that authenticity from India, and like just the feeling of being in India, the energy of India, just how it is. And if they can't, then online, I'm not so sure whether it's good, because you want to get that feeling. Otherwise, through a teacher who's done a lot of work and study through India, because I guess it's like buying a house. You wouldn't just buy anything you see the first time. You'd go and you'd make sure it's the best house, it's the best, you'd really look into it. So it's the same thing with yoga. It needs to be really thought through, and you need to go, well, actually I'm going to do the best one and get like the best that I can if they want to be the best teacher.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree 100% more. Marianne, thank you so much for sharing all of your knowledge, your inspiration. I wish you super well on your journey to Dubai. And I look forward to seeing your new videos on life coaching online.
Thank you, Tanya. So nice. And hopefully people enjoy the video. Podcast even. Thanks.